Hello, and welcome to a SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Craig Stedman, the site editor for SearchDataManagement.com, and I'm speaking today with Evan Levy of Baseline Consulting about the requirements gathering process for master data management projects. Evan is a partner and co-founder of Baseline. In addition to running its IT practice, he regularly oversees high-profile systems integration projects for major Baseline clients and advises technology vendors on emerging business intelligence and data integration trends. Welcome aboard, Evan.
Thanks so much. It's actually good to be here, and I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Great, me too. Well, let's get right to it. In a class you taught at the TDWI World Conference in Orlando in November, you talked about the different approach to requirements gathering that's needed on MDM projects versus BI projects. What are the key differences between BI requirements gathering and MDM requirements gathering?
It's a good question to start with. It's interesting because the master data management space actually has what I characterize as two different audiences that are approaching and getting engaged with it. You've got individuals that are very, very experienced in using detailed data and establishing rigor around the usage of data within companies, and that group, of course, is the business intelligence and data warehousing group. You also have the individuals in the application development environment. What I mean by that are the people that are dealing with the operational applications, the core systems that make companies function or, in fact, automate the functions that companies have. And with those two audiences, what you find is a different dynamic than what you typically see with pure BI requirements. Where BI requirements is really about the data usability. It's about understanding the types of business questions, what the core subject areas are, how this information relates, so individuals can take a look at potentially history or a large volume of content to get the right answer. In business intelligence, typically you find that the integration of the data is something that occurs behind the scenes. And the users themselves, while they're involved with business requirements helping the developers hook and link that data together, really the focus is on data usability. Well, lo and behold, over on this other side called master data management, the real focus is on data rigor, standards, and supporting operational data integration. The whole premise around master data management is I want to see the list of customers, I want to see them as of this moment in time. So there's this transactional or there's this operational need to give me the right answer of what this reference data is now. Now, the big difference from a functional and a usage perspective is the audience for MDM is every computer system. And the important aspect to understand is when the customer's information has been mastered, the name, address, their contact information, and a phone number is updated or a mailing address is updated, it needs to be made available to all systems immediately. So the premise around master data management, that operational integration and availability to everybody, really creates a circumstance where the requirements themselves are different. Pardon me for the long prelude, but the point is, why are these requirements different or how are these requirements different? Well, the audience is different because if I'm a billing system developer, or I'm a customer service system developer, I want to know how to get at the data quickly and easily, because what happens with MDM is I don't have to deal with the integration rules. They're made available to me. So one of the reasons the requirements themselves are different is because MDM is about infrastructure. So there are things like application interfaces. There's things like operational interaction and messaging and so forth with the application systems themselves. And the premise of data quality and accuracy is absolutely required. So the requirements themselves, because it's an infrastructure and an operational integration need, they're different. I don't know that I would characterize them as more complex than BI. They're just different than business intelligence because the audience isn't so much a pure end-user group that wants to do a report. It's actually users that want accurate reference data and, in fact, the developers themselves. So a bit of length here in describing why the requirements are different, but it's really about the audiences and their needs being very different than BI.
Okay. Can you talk about the breadth of MDM requirements that should be gathered and identify some of the critical things that really need to be covered when preparing for an MDM project?
Oh, certainly. You know, it's interesting. We have a couple of diagrams that we use to characterize to folks. Tell me what's inside this veneer called an MDM hub or an MDM server. And when you take a look at the breadth of functionality, it's involved. However, I mean, with that involvement or breadth, many would state, you know, this is common sense. We've been doing this master data management stuff. We just called it differently. The unique aspect of MDM is it's the combination of what I would characterize capabilities that the business needs and that systems needs that make MDM unique. So we actually characterize six basic capabilities for MDM: terminology, data quality, change management, processing, rules, and then finally data access and navigation. I'll walk through these fairly briefly to give you a perspective of here's what's inside MDM. And I think what the listeners should consider is as I walk through these different capability areas, it's not about everybody doing MDM the same way. It's about understanding the aspects of MDM that an individual environment requires to then understand, quite simply, what aspect or quantity of this particular capability is appropriate for my organization or my environment. Now, the first one is terminology. And in fact, one would say, hey, you know, a customer is a customer, and as long as I define it, what's the big deal and why is that so complicated? Well, if you consider that master data management is about managing reference data, it's about dealing with and establishing rigor for a single subject area, then you need to consider what's the scope that I'm implementing MDM for. One would argue, hey, you know, we do MDM for an enterprise. Well, in the 20-plus organizations that we interviewed when we wrote our book a few years ago on customer data integration, one thing that we found is master data management is frequently implemented unique to every individual environment. So you start with understanding what's the scope. Am I going to deal with my MDM or start with MDM from a project perspective, an organizational perspective, a company perspective, an enterprise perspective? And there's no right or wrong answer, but understanding the scope means when I'm establishing terminology standards, for example, in my business-to-customer environment, and it's a residential or it's a consumer-type customer, understanding what the definition of a customer is for my customer support organization may actually be slightly different than for sales organization, for the finance organization, and others. So you need to understand when I'm establishing these definitions and I have terminology identifiers, well, what's the scope? Do I make it specific to a single project or organization, or is it entirely spread across the enterprise? The second level is called data quality, and pretty obvious. It's establishing what acceptance and accuracy details are for those values we just talked about. So when I'm identifying a customer and I know that I have a first name and a last name, maybe a mailing address and a residence address, and there could be a bill-to address that could be different, and there may be multiple phone numbers, understanding what is acceptable. Will I allow in my reference data a missing field? For example, if I don't know the customer's work phone number, is that okay or not? Versus, is it an inaccurate address where I just need to make sure I've got the zip code and so forth? So the premise around data quality is establishing for the entire scope of this master data management system what are acceptable values, and do I correct them? One of the things, and if we go back to our prior question, that we see with data warehousing and business intelligence is very often you load and implement the data that the source systems create. Well, in master data management, this is one of those differences. In fact, with data quality, no, you clean up and correct the data based upon the rigor instilled by the MDM hub. So you don't load dirty data. That's not acceptable. Third level is called change management. Now, let me be very, very careful on this one because a lot of people will quickly interpret the concept of change management to mean a lot of different things. And what we're talking about is data change management. One of the big challenges when you're dealing with reference data is understanding not so much what's the list. It's really about when a value of one of those customers changes, how do I communicate to everybody, the value has now changed, here's the new value. This is something we always take for granted when there are new area codes in the phone system, or in fact a new zip code will come out for a particular address area. No one really ever thinks about it, but the fact is those two organizations deal with that very, very well. When there's a new area code, people hear about it well in advance, and it's very much transparent to the individuals that are using the phone. The whole idea with change management for data is establishing and setting up the means by which when data changes inside an organization, or the scope of this master data management system, that the mechanisms and methods are in place to communicate the change occurs. There's lots of different ways to do this, whether you choose something that a lot of web services people or enterprise service bus people like with publish and subscribe, or there's a means of lookup, or there's a means of subscription. Lots of different ways of doing it. The fact is, part of this master data management environment and the success of the requirements activities is understanding, is change management something that's going to be specific to an individual project, an organization, or do I need to do it across the enterprise? Let's go to the fourth capability area, and that's processing. One of the things that, and this seems a little tedious, but during the requirements process, understanding how do you define certain types of aspects of processing that the master data management environment will support. Like I said, it sounds tedious, but the whole idea is, if I have two values inside my hub, what's the definition of equivalence? Is John Smith the same as Jay Smith? Is Bob the same as Robert? Those types of details, never something you typically talk to in a business intelligence environment. But when you're talking about what the core processing capabilities of master data management is, which is creating reference data, reading reference data, updating and deleting it, you need to ensure that those definitions of the processing are well understood. And in fact, you also want to know, well, if we update the data daily, is that sufficient? Or do we need to do it immediately? Is it a write time or a real time requirement that when a customer updates their phone number via the phone, that they can now go to their web portal and see that update? It's not about what's right or wrong. It's really what's really necessary to support delivering on the business needs. Fifth area, rules, is quite simply who decides when changes and things are required. And one of the most obvious examples is a rule is if someone calls to update a phone number or an address, do we allow them to change that address? There are many business instances, for example, where pharmaceutical companies don't allow a sales representative to update a physician address in their Salesforce automation system. There are other instances where they say, you know something, we'll only update that data from an approved third-party provider. There's a number of companies that actually keep track of those details. I think another good example is just the change of address form for consumers. If you call into a company, if you can identify who you are, they'll let you change your address. Whereas many of them, if they receive a card in the mail or they receive a large subscription, they may in fact not update that address. In any event, the point with the rules, and sometimes we call these policies, is to understand what's practical and allowed and when. And once again, this ties back to what's the difference between BI and MDM. Well, business intelligence is very much analytical. I don't really worry about changing the data. I only want to see what history is or what's already occurred. The fact is, when you're dealing with reference data and I update values, it's pretty important to know who's allowed to make those updates. Think about the challenges when you're in a catalog retailer and you want to update new items in a catalog, you want to update inventory, or those types of things. There are going to be rules involved with who's allowed to make those changes and so forth. And then finally, it's the data access navigation. That's a fairly esoteric or technical view, but the idea behind master data management, it's not only, hey, I've got this reference data, and I want to know who's allowed to touch it, who's allowed to process it. And now the issue is, well, where is the data located and how much information is necessary? There are some instances where in a company they just decided, let's put this file on a file server. So it's very, very specific to know the system, what the file looks like, how it's laid out. The other extreme is being web services or a data services centric perspective where, in fact, it's transparent. The data is just available. If you consider the phone company, no one really knows where all those area codes, when they're updated, are really stored. But the fact is, you dial the number, you're able to access the end person that you're supposed to. So once again, the premise of data access and navigation is really about where is that reference detail stored, and what do I need to do to gain access to it? So once again, if you consider these six different areas, terminology, data quality, change management, processing, rules, and then data access, this is a very different domain to have discussions with regard to requirements than you would normally see in business intelligence. So you can start seeing that while there is some level of business involvement, it's very infrastructure-oriented. So a bit of length on that one, too, but that, in fact, that's where the breadth of MDM requirements is so dramatically different.
Right. So what sort of special skills does an MDM requirements gathering team need to have?
You know, it's funny. I think the best skill is being inquisitive, and then I guess the second one is listening. It's funny, I know those are very flip answers. I think what's important when someone approaches doing MDM requirements, we actually look at the requirements details in three different groups: the business requirements, the data requirements, and the functional requirements. With business requirements, the skills that are necessary is understanding who the business users are and why having accurate reference data will make or break what the responsibilities are. Because ultimately, what you want to understand in implementing a new master data management system is how will this help people get their job done? How will it help simplify or make what they do quicker, faster, and easier? So what you want to understand is, what are the scenarios? Are there people that just need to look up a customer's information? Do they need to reference a list? Do they want to see changes? It's asking people about what their jobs are and then trying to figure out, where does reference data matter? The second area, or data requirements, what's important is individuals, when they start engaging with the requirements process, to quickly be able to identify what's the data or the subject area, what's the standard term that people use, and in fact, are there special rules associated with that data itself? Then finally are the functional requirements. Now, the functional requirements is probably the toughest nut to crack with master data management. So one of the skill area or the capability that I would focus on is you want to have someone participate in the requirements activities with a bit of knowledge of technology and a bit of knowledge of the individual systems themselves. So in fact, you often find that individuals that are participating in either the architecture groups or the data management groups of companies, they participate in the MDM requirements process. So you can quickly determine across this breadth of three items, business, data, and function, what the detail of requirements are.
Okay, and to wrap up, any final thoughts on MDM requirements gathering that you'd like to leave us with?
You know, we've talked a lot about specific details, nooks and crannies of master data management in our brief discussion here. You know, this isn't hard. In fact, what it really just requires is a level of thoroughness or diligence, and start small. You don't need to talk to everybody in your company to be successful with MDM. You start with a very small group that has a specific set of challenges or needs, and you start there. And you can actually evolve master data management in much of the same way you see standard applications involved evolve, or in fact, business intelligence and data warehousing evolve. You start with a small group of people with a discrete set of needs, and it grows as the data is available to them, and it makes sense.
Okay, great. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Evan, thanks for calling in and sharing your insight with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks again for giving me some time today.
Okay, and thanks again to Evan Levy for talking to us today. And as always, thanks to our listeners for joining us. Be sure to visit searchdatamanagement.com to find more podcasts, as well as videos, news stories, in-depth articles, case studies, and best practices tips on BI and data management technologies. Until the next time, this is Craig Stedman for searchdatamanagement.com, signing off.